HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.
Okay, so today I am rejoined by Laura Ryan, who is Director of International HR at Dropbox. Laura, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Declan. It's great to be back. Some 18 months later, I think.
It is, yeah. I was listening to the previous one the other day and I couldn't believe it was that long, but hey, time flies. When we last spoke, Dropbox were rolling out a virtual first approach to working without trying to surmise it into 30 seconds. Effectively, what you were saying was all employees would work from home unless they had a need to go to a studio, which you were calling, you were repurposing your offices as for specific reasons. I think the difference, as we talked about at the time, Laura, was most companies were doing a hybrid approach where they'd have 2 or 3 days in the office. And this was very much a no, you are remote always unless there's a reason otherwise. How's it gone?
Yeah, so we were early out of the traps, as I told you at the time. So like it's 18 months, so it was 6 months into the pandemic, and we kind of just said, okay, let's change this. I think we felt at the time we were in a unique position to kind of understand where the future of work was headed. And we wanted to really position ourselves as early adopters in the permanent shift to remote work. How's it gone? April this year was the first kind of was a year into the actual strategy where we've been able to fully live it. It has gone good. Like it's gone really, really good. Internal sentiment is really strong. Employees love the flexibility. They love the fact that they don't have to choose, you know, either fully remote or being in the office full time. That kind of choice that allows people to kind of have meaningful connection, but also have the flexibility and, let's face it, like not dealing with daily commutes. I mean, whoever wants to go back to that, right? Sentiment is really, really strong, and we're really pleased with the adoption we've seen to some of the changes that we introduced at the time around. I think, Declan, we talked about the concept of core collaboration hours, this concept of non-linear working days, and kind of that that shift has been really good. And we did talk at the time and said that we would have to enter into this with very much a learning mindset. And we were shifting, you know, very long traditional mindsets of what working life should look like. But so far, we're really pleased with how our employees are feeling, how they're adapting, and how we're living and getting the best out of both worlds.
And I think at the time, Laura, we were very much talking about, yeah, as you mentioned there, it's like this is a mindset change, a massive mindset change for most people. Most people have been 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, you know, in an office environment, obviously. What have been the challenges in terms of adoption of the new ways of doing this?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the challenges, the initial challenge, I think, was that we actually couldn't get into studios, right? So if you think about the 18 months since you and I spoke, we continued on with many restrictions from a pandemic perspective. So everyone was remote, right? So we had this concept and this, you know, philosophy around how we wanted to change work, and we actually couldn't live that working model because we were all still in various stages of lockdown across Europe for a long period of 2020 and into 2021 as well. I think that it was the gift that kept on giving, and then we started to see the great reshuffle, right? And so in the great resignation era. So like the last 18 months have been incredibly challenging in general. For organizations as they've navigated through all of the kind of macro world kind of events that were thrown our way. As we then bring that back into Dropbox, some of the challenges have really been around that connection piece. So we've opened up our studios, we're seeing people go into the studios, we're seeing people use them and leverage them for things like team effectiveness, team offsites. People are traveling now again, so teams are getting together. But what we're hearing from employees is that while people feel they're very connected within their own teams, so within your own pod, it's actually harder to build relationships outside of your immediate team, right? So, I think teams over the last 18 months, 2 years have established their own rituals for connection, have their own practices built up. So like even within my own team, we have like, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we connect on the morning, everyone kind of does a social check-in, like trying to reinvent the old pod structure that we would have had. And so we've built that ritual within our team, we've kept it going. So everyone within my immediate team feels very connected. And I know that to be true because we hear it from employees all the time. But I think as you think about broader company relationships beyond the day to day, they're just harder to cultivate in a virtual world. I think without the ability to kind of bump into coworkers in the hall and overhear casual conversations, there's just been less chances for people to get to know each other outside of their daily orbit. And that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we're seeing. And actually next week in Dublin, what we've decided to do, our studio and employee experience team have decided to just host an event for all of the new people that have joined since the beginning of this year. So when we have neighborhood events and that's what we're calling our kind of our virtual, our team members now, we're calling it like neighborhoods. So every kind of location has a various neighborhood, and we have very active, Slack channels and, you know, initiatives, a lot of virtual initiatives to try and get people together. But it's also important that we get people together in person now that we're able to do that. So in the next few weeks, we're having a new hires get together for people to get to know each other outside of their own immediate team. So that's kind of they're the biggest challenges that we're seeing, honestly, at the moment, which is, you know, how do you cultivate relationships outside of your core group? And what's that impact then on the broader culture?
And for a new joiner, what's the typical journey there? Do you bring them into an office near the beginning, or is that completely remote until the natural neighborhood event or whatever it is comes up?
It's virtual. Yeah. And again, it goes back to kind of the core principles of our model is around equity and inclusion. And so if not everyone can be in a studio for an onboarding experience due to travel restrictions or inability to travel because of life or whatever, because, you know, the model is to be set up from home, then our preference is that everyone would do it virtually. And again, it is about creating that level playing field and making sure that everyone has an equitable experience. So the current state of play is that everyone is onboarded virtually, and then as they start to embed into their teams, we are seeing multiple teams get together, right? Like, so teams are constantly getting together. And also we're encouraging people just to have cross-functional team meetings in the studio, one-on-one. So like people can really choose their own schedule, their own path in terms of when and how they avail of a studio.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know last time we spoke, you were very keen, Laura, that it would be a consistent approach for everyone and they'd all have the same employee experience. So that does make sense.
That's the cornerstone of the model, Declan. We spoke about this back at that time. Like the reason we were very deliberate, very intentional, that was the fundamental reason we didn't go with a hybrid model, because, you know, hybrid models seem like they're the ultimate solution in flexibility. And maybe they will be. It remains to be seen. We're still in this kind of big experiment, right? But, you know, we purposely wanted to ensure that there was just equity and that we didn't have bias proximity or, you know, any of those things that can happen naturally because of preference that people may have to work in a particular way or in a particular place. I'm really pleased to say that the model itself has created that and is living. We're living that kind of level playing field where we're not seeing issues or challenges around that, which is great.
Did you have to make many or any interventions with leaders who were maybe had an even longer working life in that 9-to-5 in the office presenteeism style environment that we've all grown up in?
Really, I think the reality is the culture at Dropbox pre-pandemic was relatively flexible. You had people working across multiple time zones. We had an employee base and a leadership base that were used to working partially remotely on the road traveling. They were very used to the tools and technology. We've always had collaborative tools, like our own tools internally, like, you know, paper and HelloSign and all these things. But like, so I think our leadership population are very comfortable with flexibility. I think, so there hasn't been massive kind of shifts and challenges. The challenge is really around, I think, measuring productivity, not necessarily kind of looking at somebody, you know, first in and last home in the evening are our best performing workers, right? It's like moving away from just looking at numbers and metrics, and actually understanding how do you assess broader impact in a virtual world? What does that look like? And just kind of helping leaders assess productivity, or what productivity looks like, the old traditional way, but not necessarily that they weren't bought in, right? We didn't have a challenge with you know, leadership buy-in, because I think everyone has been really, really have experienced the benefits themselves, and leaders talk about that all the time, you know, across the organization, how enhanced their experiences and their lives is because of this model.
Yeah, it is. I know we spent a good bit of time talking about that potential for proximity bias, and I think every company sort of worried about that, or should have worried about it at the beginning. And on a really practical note, Laura, I think you were giving a pass for each employee or potential to have a pass for WeWork. What was the uptake of those sort of arrangements? You know, people who didn't maybe have a facility at home to, you know, or an area at home where they could work comfortably.
Yeah, we did that, Declan, before our own studios were open. So we were still reconfiguring them. We still had a kind of a mandatory work from home policy because of COVID restrictions. And so where we had acute cases where people just like were in a one bedroom apartment and they just needed another space, it was low, actually. What we found is, and what, you know, what people are constantly talking about is how resilient people are, and how resilience just shone through in the pandemic. People made alternative arrangements before kind of they needed to get a WeWork pass. We had some uptake. It was relatively low. And now we don't have any. We have very little uptake at all, because we have studios open in all of our kind of major hubs and cities across Europe. So people just can pop in and out of there. So they don't need an alternative space. We do have some individuals who, due to their own location, we have a lot of people who actually moved, like they moved like location, they moved out of cities. And so we do see sometimes if you're a 2-hour, you know, train journey in London, for example, away from our studio, people have a flexible pass they can tip into, or we work around the corner from them, for example. But that's the kind of usage that we're seeing, as opposed to there being at the time we introduced it, it was just to alleviate any real acute challenges that people were having working from home.
Getting buy-in on your people strategy can often be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Irish Life Health, we help HR leaders to unlock insights and make data-driven HR decisions. Join over 2,500 HR leaders who partner with us to help their employees live a healthier life. Search Irish Life Health to find out more. Irish Life Health Act is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
And another thing we touched on the last time, which I think we were both absolutely in agreement on, was that, you know, Dropbox very much measures impact as opposed to inputs, if you like. Has that evolved at all in the new environment?
I think it's a continuous it's continuously evolving. But I mean, impact, you know, the frameworks that we use are very clear. Like, we have consistent, we have a core responsibilities framework that we look at. So we look at the how, we look at the what, and then we look at craft expertise. So we've built out frameworks that really drive that level of consistency, so that managers have a clear path in terms of how they're assessing impact. So it continues to evolve, right? But it's connected to kind of mindsets. It's how do you assess performance without somebody sitting in front of you and you thinking that them sitting at a desk by 10 hours a day is actually high performance. So, but it, you know, it's not problematic, Dec. Like, there's no challenges in our organization around how we measure impact. But like all organizations, we will continue to do it in line with kind of changes and what employees need, basically.
And again, I think at the start of all of this, a lot of companies were worried about productivity for some of the things you allude to there, that, you know, there's no one sitting over your shoulder. What have been the impact on productivity, or have you any observations on that?
Yeah, I mean, our productivity is, so our employees say that they are, you know, in our recent employee surveys that, you know, I need to look up the number. I think it was over 71% of our employees have said that they feel more productive. It's 71% said they feel more productive because core collaboration hours have allowed them to actually get more heads down work. So if you remember, core collaborations are these blocks of time that we had set for synchronous work. So, you know, meetings, cross time zone collaboration. And then in the middle of the day, or whatever kind of way you block out your day, there are heads down kind of deep focus work. That's a pretty big number. You know, 71% of our employees saying they have less kind of distracted time, more focused time, and allows people to get through their asynchronous work. So if you've got a paper doc and you wake up, for me, for example, I wake up in the morning to multiple different alerts and comments and questions, and then I spend my afternoons going through those, reviewing documents, as do the majority of our employees. But it's a very effective way of getting work done across the globe, essentially. And so I think that 71% would say that we were trending in the right direction in terms of productivity and how it's going for our employees.
I actually find it amazing that more companies don't implement that, you know, those core working hours where people just leave you alone to do work. I find it incredible. You know, you could spend all day at meetings if certain people got the right.
And we were, Declan, that was the thing. And again, when I spoke with you, that this was a concept that, you know, we were curious about. How would it work? Would it work? Would it, you know, flexibility is only flexible, you know, and it's only useful when people are actually flexible. And would people get very wedded to these hours and not, you know, would we not see that kind of continuous agility within the organization? And that hasn't been the case at all. Like, it really has focused people. It really has enabled people to get additional balance, but, you know, and it structures a day for individuals as well in just a really great way. But also, you know, we see people, and we talked about this, that the flexibility is, if you know that you don't have to be on calls, you can do your gym session at lunchtime. And so it's that kind of blend and that harmony that people are getting, which is really empowering. So I think when we think about productivity, I think about it as, you know, we have an extremely engaged, motivated workforce because of the model. So like, the feedback is so strong, and without getting overly scientific about it, like, we don't need to have numbers and data to tell us if you are an engaged and motivated employee, you're just going to be more productive, and you feel you have additional harmony and flexibility in your life, and you're not compromising and not making trade-off. There's always a trade-off, right? But you're not over indexing on work versus home life, that you can kind of get that magical blend. It's going to show up in your work. It just does. And you don't, as I said, that's not rocket science.
Has it had any tangible effect, with that in mind, then, on retention?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, you know, we saw, like, 2020 was the pandemic, 2021 was the great resignation. Thankfully, 2022 has been way more stable. I think a lot of organizations would say that as well. What we're seeing is, yes, it is definitely a key retainer. But in terms of talent attraction as well, Declan, in the top kind of 2 to 3 reasons why most people want to join the organization is because of the working model. So, and most, what we hear from employees and candidates is that they only are interested in speaking with companies who are operating this kind of flexibility. So it's been really interesting. But yes, like, it is an attractor and a retainer of talent, for sure. Particularly now that we've got our studios open, people are getting together, people are traveling. It was very hard to see before, you know, before the beginning of this year, where that would go. But now we're kind of 6 to 7 months into studios being open, people traveling, people getting together, and there's this kind of this real energy around connection now. And we just hadn't had that for obviously the 2 years that we were all in lockdown because of the pandemic. So it's like, you know, so far so good. Like it's all upside so far.
Just on as an attraction to Laura, is it the where or the when do you think people are more interested in, or is it a bit of a combination?
I'd say it's a combination. I think like if we look at our hiring over the last kind of year, we've got way more distributed within across the US, but across every country. We've seen people move out of major cities and moving into even within Ireland. Like we've had more people been hired all across Ireland, whereas predominantly it would have been kind of a Dublin-based employee, and now we're seeing people shift. And so there, it's a combination of all of those things. It's the ability to kind of still have a meaningful career, work for an organization with, you know, a fast-paced, thriving organization, and still be able to live beside your family or where you grow up in your hometown or whatever it is. And we're seeing a huge amount of that. So it's definitely a combination of all of those things.
And for anyone who hadn't listened to the first podcast, Laura had literally just moved away from Dublin as this was launching. So she was living the actions match the words.
Absolutely,
When we were talking about productivity, we were saying that it can be obvious when someone is productive at their work. You know, they're engaged, they're probably doing it with a smile on their face, they're into their work. What has been the impact on well-being, or have you guys any data around that?
Yeah, I think from a well-being perspective, look, I think we're always kind of conscious of the always-on culture, the like burnout, you know, because of concepts of non-linear working days. So in theory, you know, even though you have a ton of flexibility, you might find yourself on a call at 9 a.m. and still on a call later, even though you might have had a chunk of time off in the day to do different things, but the days can stretch out. So we have introduced some really great initiatives around, I think I spoke to you about this before, we have something called flexible PTO. Which is, you know, basically we don't have a ceiling on the number of days that you can take. You take whatever days you need for whatever's going on in your life. We have unplugged time off, which basically means that you're really encouraged to step away and unplug from your devices. So if I wanted to take my vacation time holiday, say I'm going 2 weeks this summer, I can click a button on our HRIS system that says unplugged, and it actually logs me out of my email. It logs me out of my Slack. And so, again, it's kind of forcing you to disconnect from the technology. And then when you come back on, there's an automatic response. So, you know, when you're on the beach and you're scrolling on your phone, like we're all doing, there's nothing coming up, right? So we find things like that have been really, really helpful to put guardrails in place to prevent employees from burning out. We also have... Well, we introduced these in 2020 and we've continued with them, company-wide shutdown days. So once a month, there is a company-wide shutdown date, and usually they coincide with various public holidays in different locations and regions, so that we're giving people a nice 4-day week. But the beauty of a company shutdown day is that everybody is off, and we have massive adherence to that. Everyone switches off. So, you know, when you take a day off, but everyone else is working, you come back and your inbox is just like out of control, and you kind of go, well, I don't know why I took that day off, because I just have to double up on my work. The work doesn't go away. But actually, once a month, things just pause just for a day. And they have been a massive, massive benefit for employees and really well received. So things like that, I think we're constantly thinking about, how do we protect our employees? How do we ensure that in a virtual world where you don't have somebody sitting in front of you, that you're connected, that, you know, you're tuned into people's needs and what they want. So stuff like that really helps.
Laura, last question. We all have bosses. We all have commercial responsibilities within organizations. Is the ROI clear in your mind? Let me start that again. Is the ROI clear in terms of this being the correct approach?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think when I think of ROI from an employee perspective, I think of our engagement levels. I think of retention. I think of attraction of talent. I think of the impact that we're having as an organization. And so it's very clear. Like, there is no doubt in my mind that the model has not enhanced it, even in terms of Declan, like the, you know, we're seeing like almost 2x more applications, right, into the organization that we would have seen previously. So, as I said, we are still learning. This is not kind of our final destination by any stretch of the imagination. But so far, the model has yielded really positive results for Dropbox overall.
Brilliant. I feel like we're on the journey with you now, Laura, as well. So maybe we'll check in again in another 18 months or less. Laura, thanks a million for your time today.
Thank you so much.
I think it's a really well thought out and well framed initiative. I think it's, you know, the hybrid model, I think, has just been rolled out by too many companies without a great deal of thought being put into it, if I'm being honest. If you're telling people they should be in an office 2 or 3 days a week, but with no real intention behind those time frames, I think it's less meaningful.
Yeah.
But what you guys are doing sounds like it's
exciting. Yeah, we're incredibly proud of it. And actually, it's interesting that you say that. A friend of mine was talking about, I met her last weekend, and they have a 3-day policy in place. She works for a large bank. And she said, people are in there and they don't really know why they're there. There's no sense of purpose. They're almost resentful because they've had to battle through traffic, get on Lewis's, trains, darts. And they're like, I can do all of this at home. I don't know why I need to be, you know. So I listen to the stories from friends working in other organizations. And I feel very proud of the approach we've taken. I'm more than happy to continue the journey with you, Declan, down the road.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.